When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
On Tuesday's chat with Nicole Byer, the girl said this.
Just for the listeners at home, you must picture some vintage Wrangler jeans that are
oversized.
Oversized, and they are acid washed, honey. There are splatters everywhere.
Spot.
Nicole said this.
Trump is my mentor.
Sabrina said this. This is the new, gender, the new way to be a gender is, like, if a guy does it, then, a butch bitch can do it.
Let's get back in the chat. I'm just realizing the moment when someone says, I'm taking a picture, and it's a full body picture, Everything that happens to your body is what acting is, which is like you become conscious of how you're standing.
Instead of standing,
you start thinking, how will I stand?
Mm-hmm.
And acting is like when you're acting well, it's you're able to just go back to standing while being conscious of what the best way to stand is.
It is a weird thing. And sometimes it happens where I get to a place where I feel like I'm being really authentic and truthful.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah. I think the best thing for me is when, with this show, is when I feel like myself. It's similar to stand up. It's when I can sink in and then the lines feel like me and I'm sitting like me and I'm able to just, the closer to me I am, the more successful I will be on the show.
Also, good writing is more helpful than you think.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that with auditioning, where you're why can't I fucking memorize these lines? Oh, because they're disjointed and they don't make sense and this is a bad script.
Which is why I feel as soon as I started writing on shows, I was having this debate with writers about why don't we let the actors collaborate? But writers are oh my God, do not start with that. That is the fucking, you open that door and
it's
you do not know.
It's because you are you and actors are actors.
Exactly. And where, if everyone's I have an idea, then all of a sudden it's oh shit.
Yes, because me personally, I would just be this one line, I just wouldn't say it like this.
Yeah.
But an actor will go, my motivation's wrong.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that like this. Also, I wouldn't do this episode. You're like,
that's honestly a perfect impression of Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
I gotta watch this Fleabag.
You gotta.
Were you at the Emmys?
Hollywood Scoop.
Of course I was.
Scoop.
Were you?
Scoop.
Hollywood Scoop. I was checking codes at the Emmys.
I gotta watch this Fleabag.
You
everyone
were at
loves
the Emmys.
Fleabag. I did get to go to the Emmys and yelled it was nominated.
Oh my God.
Which is so wild.
Yes.
We did not win.
What's the guy like that you host it with?
Jacques Torres is a treat of a human being.
He's
truly,
like your Patricia
he's a dream.
Heaton.
He's
it's
what?
Like Patricia Heaton,
kind
for me.
Of.
It's sort of The Odd Couple. It's you wouldn't think that you guys would be friends, but you're actually
we're really great
talking
together.
Shit in the corner.
Really funny, and I've been teaching him about jokes, and I've been teaching him about buttons.
Okay.
And it's very funny. Sometimes he'll just say the punchline without a setup, and I'll go, what? And he's like, it's a joke. And I go, oh, well, you missed the setup. So I had no idea what you were talking about. You just said, and then sometimes he'll just say a setup and then the button, and you're like, oh,
what has he taught you?
He's taught me about cooking and pastries and donuts.
Have you started cooking since the show, or did
no,
you always,
no I'm not cook. A I don't like cooking cook. I have a very nice kitchen, but I do not cook. I love tender greens.
Yeah,
a bunch of tender greens.
Yeah, you don't have
here.
To do everything. You got a lot of things happening.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, cooking, you gotta clean up and shit, it's bad.
Do you have family in LA? Drink that water.
No
family in LA except for me and Wolfie.
Not Shauna can't be my family.
Well, if you come if you don't sleep through your visits.
I know, I can't believe I did that. I'm so tired.
take in that
sometimes
sweet, sweet
flights
sleep.
I can't, like, I'll sleep on a flight, but I'm not rested.
No.
And then
do you drink on planes?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's your big reward, is like, yes, lose yourself to the music.
I had two vodka
sodas. Especially if you're in the front of the plane. That's just, oh, yeah, smart. That's just a deal.
I was right in the front, and you better believe I snored the whole, yeah, way. I woke myself up snoring so hard.
Did you make friends with the person next to you?
Sure didn't.
No?
No, because I sit next to a lot of white people in first class, uh-huh, and they're rude. They're, a lot they're of them rude? Are really rude. Yeah. Like, they don't want to talk to me. They're really standoffish, and they, like, just, like, they're like, you
how
don't
did
belong.
You get
it's like,
here?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like,
this
you
is
don't 1940.
Belong. 1940.
Several times I've been trying to board with first class or diamond medallion, because I'm a diamond medallion.
Yeah, baby.
And a nice,
yeah,
white.
Baby. And that's how you live forever, dog.
Sometimes a nice white lady will say, I'm sorry, they're only boarding first class right now. And I'll go, I know. And she's like,
oh,
so where are you sitting? And
God, I, next to you, on your face, you
truly,
dumb bitch.
It's happened several times. Or I've been like trying to put my
several times?
Yeah, or I've been like trying to put my stuff down and they're like, this is first class.
That's for the lady.
Mm. And then I try to stay,
this is first class,
nice, and be like, yes, I know, this is what my ticket says. And I'm like, oh, okay, did you get an upgrade? I've heard that,
no,
too. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I bought the fucking ticket. I talk about this
did
in my stand up, but this guy, I like brushed him with my suitcase, like on the back of him, because everyone was standing, mm-hmm, and he goes, are you trying to pickpocket me? And in that moment I almost started crying, because I was like, I'll never be equal, ugh, to any of these people. I'll never, no matter, I was like, I sat next to you for a whole flight, mm, we paid the same amount for a ticket, mm-hmm, but you're still gonna say I'm pickpocketing you.
Yeah.
And like, I talk about it in my stand-up in a way where I'm like, if I could go back in time, here's what I would say to him. And then a couple times, every show in Orlando, mm-hmm, I say my punchline and then people go, aw. I'm like, what? You're on his side? He was racist.
Wait, what is the thing that you'd say to him?
Oh, so I say, if I find a DeLorean and hit 88 miles per hour, this is what I would say back to him. Because in like the actual moment, I was just like, yeah, I guess I'm trying to pickpocket you. And then try to not burst into tears.
Oh, babe.
So what I say is, if I...
I love you. I'm so
thank
sorry.
You. It's... people don't realize how many microaggressions happen
well,
in the
that's
world.
That's a fucking macro.
Yeah.
Yeah, was, well, like, it, right now, as you're saying this, I'm like, I always, you know, I think we all, in the same way, I want to know what you say to him too, but I always think of myself as younger than everyone. And then also because I'm half brown and half white, and I'm like an immigrant to the country, and I'm gay, I always think like, I know what it's like to be the other person,
mm-hmm,
but actually I can blend in a way that, like,
you're technically white passing, like,
yeah,
you could,
yeah,
go either
could,
way,
yeah, well, like, I certainly haven't had people say, what the fuck are you doing here, basically, in first class, although I've had people have that attitude with me in fancy places for, mm-hmm, sure, but the fucking audacity to be saying these things out loud,
mm-hmm,
because what are you? You're subhuman, basically, is what they're treating you.
Yeah.
Fucking go
and
to
I
hell.
Get treated better if I have a wig on and makeup on. Then, yeah, people go,
I mean, people,
oh,
treat me better with makeup.
She
on
belongs.
Too. Yes. Yeah.
But I'd rather be comfortable on a flight so I look like a little boy.
And also, why the fuck would you? Yeah, you're not getting dressed so that people can act like,
no,
humans.
Just like treat me like a person.
Yeah.
I once got misgendered on a plane. It was really funny. And I guess funny to
that
me
happens to
because
me at airports all the
whatever.
Time. Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I don't mind.
Well, that's like, you're different from me.
Yes.
Is that you? That's a rare thing for you.
Yes, and I don't mind.
We're, yeah.
But I was sitting there, and the flight attendant goes, all right, sir. After she's like looking at a piece of paper that says Nicole.
Yeah.
She goes, sir, what would you like to drink? And I went, can I just have it? She went, you're not a sir. I said, no, but
don't
it's
you love
okay.
It when they make it about them after?
And then she
and it's
ignored
like,
me the whole flight.
Wow.
She wouldn't bring me anything.
Wow.
But it's fine. Flying is, being in an airport, ugh.
The worst.
They didn't send their best when they send them to the airport.
Well, because, like, also, like, you know, it's like 30% jaded people who are constantly on planes and their relationships are falling apart because of it. And then 70% like just panicked people from the middle of the country that are like, this is our one time to make something cool happen, Darren.
Yeah.
Like just so panicked.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's the height. Also, yeah.
Men are not helpful. So, you know, so, okay. Maybe it's because I'm like fat and black. I don't know. But like, I'll see them help a little woman with a suitcase that doesn't look heavy.
Yeah.
My backpack looks heavy and is heavy. And nobody this weekend tried to help me put it in the overhead. Everyone just like watched me struggle. And I was like, this is nice.
Yeah.
But also, it's like not men's jobs.
I would have helped
you. I just
you.
Like get so.
I would have helped you.
Is that a gunshot? We gonna kill some men?
That's the sound of me putting your fucking backpack in the overhead.
Is that you burping?
That's me burping after because I did a good workout and I deserve to relieve some gas.
Wait, where do you work out?
I work out at this place called F45 and it's Australian. It's from Australia and it's beamed all over the world.
Beamed?
I mean, yeah. It's
what?
It's beamed. So they
what
so
do you mean?
Basically it's a bunch of like it's interval training. It's high intensity interval training. So you'll do like bicep curls, but then you'll do like jumping jacks, but like different variations of it. But there's always on the screen a guy demoing it.
Uh-huh. And you leave your house to go watch a man on a screen?
Well, no, but it's groups, so everyone's doing it. But no one treats people bad. There's different kinds of different all people there.
Okay.
And I mean, like, there's definitely, like, fit people there because it's, like, a really, like, it's, like, pretty tough. But you can do variations of it. I'll go to pole dancing if you come to F45.
All right. Are there fat people at F45?
Yes.
There was a fat lady in my class today and she scooted out too quickly before I could tell her to keep doing it.
Oh, whoa.
She wasn't asking for help. And I was like, just, you don't know how to do anything. Just ask how to do it.
You don't have a hard time asking for help?
Not when it comes to like fitness stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. Like the very first class, you're supposed to say like your name, how long you've been pulling and like how your body feels. And I was like, I don't know how my body feels because I'm not really in touch with my body and I don't really like listen to it when it hurts, but I think it feels okay. She was like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't know. I have a weird relationship with my body. But also it's really funny because when the teacher goes, how are you feeling? Sometimes women will be like, I'm going through a divorce and I'm sad. Aww. And then another one will be like, my husband left me yesterday and we're not getting divorced yet. And then the third one will be like, well, and then the teacher will be like, your body, how does your body feel? It's so funny.
It's all divorced people.
I'm just so sad. My children, they don't love me. So I guess I'm feeling bad.
Cool. So how are your knees?
Are your knees good? They gonna pop out? What happened? I hurt my knee a while ago. And it's
hurting your knee sucks. It feels like the beginning of the end. And then it also feels like it's never going to get better.
Yes. And I've been icing it.
Knees are like broken hearts, baby. Once they get split up, they feel like it's never going to change, but it does change.
How long have you and Shauna been together?
11 years in April.
Oh
so
my God.
10 and a half years.
How nice.
Yeah.
And you met her in a club?
I met her at a bar.
Oh, a bar.
We're both on our periods right now, and that's not usually the case.
Can
and
I
it's
ask
like
a really
fucking
invasive, rude question?
Yeah. I do guess we bleed into each other's
no,
pussies and
but
use
do you
one
have
tampon?
Sex when you're on your period?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, like 11 years together, you're going to have less sex than, right, you know, the first couple years. And so, like, the moments that we get together, it's generally not these days when we're... Although, on the weekend, I invited Lucas to come over. And then Shauna...
Single?
He is. I invited him to...
Me.
I'll tell him to come over right now.
Tell him about me.
I'll tell him about you. Why don't you come to a taping?
Okay.
Then so I told Shauna that Lucas was coming over and then Shauna was like, I mean, can we just spend some time together? And I was like, okay, cool. I'll cancel on Lucas. Canceled Lucas. And then we had sex. And then she was like, you can invite Lucas over. And it felt good. But that was so we both got our periods yesterday. and it's a little bit like fucking who's the most cuckoo, like the more cuckoo person wins. Like last, like I was so emotional and then she took a shift last night. She was just her body was like aching and she kept on talking about it, but then I hear like the furniture moving from the other room and she I walk in, she's got the crib up like fucking like Hulk, like just lifting the crib up, and I'm like, Shauna, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just looking for some of Wolfie's socks. It's like, bitch, right now when your body's aching. Then I she called her her mom, and so then I went to bed at 6:30. Sometimes the best thing to do when you've like said the wrong thing is just go to sleep.
That's what I want to be in a relationship, so I can say the wrong thing
and then go to sleep.
I just watching couples.
But that girl you were talking about sounds pukunkly, which is a word Shauna and I made up.
Well, okay, I don't want to have arguments where like everything I say is wrong. I would like to have an argument where like we're having it, we're just talking, and then I say something bad.
I don't want to have arguments where everything I say is wrong. Like they're smoking. You know, like most people, they just want to be like wrong.
I just don't want to be wrong all the time. I just want to be wrong some of the time. I also just want someone who like really likes me.
Yeah. I really like you.
Yeah, I don't think she really liked me. No. I don't think I've ever dated anyone who like genuinely liked me.
My read on her is that she had an idea of who you were.
I think so.
And was like really bumping on when you weren't that person, which is like not a real relationship. Mm-hmm. And she's going to have a hard time if she's listening. Girl, you're going to have a hard time connecting with people if you keep on putting your expectations of who they are onto them. Thank you very much for coming out, but please stop listening to the pod. JK, I need all the listeners I can get. I only have 50 reviews and I would love 52.
Just two more.
Can we just get back to the plane to what you would have said to the guy?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a joke in my stand-up set, but...
We accept those here.
I say... If I go back in time, I would say, you caught me robbing the grave, because he was very old.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I wrote was, oh, that's wild. You don't look like you got money. And then the third one was, did you enjoy that woman's touch since your wife doesn't touch you anymore because her pussy's dust? And people really take offense to that. People take offense to that one, but I was like, I like she was saying, on the plane too.
I like you saying all of those things to him throughout the flight. Like you just workshopping and be like, oh, I got another one.
No. Here, what about this one? This one's bad, right?
What? You have little coins in your wrinkles?
Little coins in your wrinkles?
Got a little diamond in the middle of all your wrinkles?
Oh my God. He was just so, it was so, and then everyone on the plane knew he was bad.
That's at least
he said it. And you know when someone sees something bad but they don't say anything, but you know that they saw it and they're like, yeah that was bad.
Yeah.
That's what everyone did on the plane. It was like the air was like sucked out of the room. It just it sucked. It was not fun or cool.
Do you have like having gone through I guess a lifetime of these micro macro aggressions, do you have some kind of like way of dealing with
No, because every time it happens, it's shocking.
Yeah.
Because you go 50 days without someone saying something racist to you. And then when they say it, you're like, ah, I didn't think this was going to happen again. Yeah. So, I mean, I've gotten better at like during interviews. I mean, it's not racist.
I guess
but
what you do with it in terms of writing material about it and exposing it and talking yes. about it is the positive thing.
And it's like,
where it's like, it's not my secret or yes. shame. It's
like it
society's
happened,
grossness.
And I was so upset. But then I like was like, oh, I wish I could write something to say to him. And I was like, oh, you can.
Yeah.
And you can say this on stage and you can, you know, repeat this over and over and over to people. And it like makes me laugh when I tell the joke. So it makes me feel better. But yeah, it's just it's a tough thing. These little microaggressions.
Well, my beginning, like starting to do stand up was very much a reaction to people being like outwardly Islamophobic to white Italian passing me. And I felt so like I remember just that feeling of like, oh, yes, this is what I can do with this.
Yeah.
And like so much of I think your material, too. But like so much of my material is like at some point I would have felt embarrassed about or something that I would have felt like. I don't know. or that society would make you feel like you should feel ashamed of, but actually, yeah,
that's why I wrote fat material. Like my special, I think I do 13 minutes of fat material, and I did it specifically because I was like, there is a way to make fat jokes that aren't offensive but like are funny.
Yeah.
And I spent a long time trying to figure them out, and then when I figured them out, I was like, I got it. I want to put them all on my special and not talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can.
And that it doesn't always have to be self-deprecating.
No.
It's aware and it's reflective.
And I tried to frame it in a way that like one of the lines is when I worked at Lane Bryant, I'd have to fold jeans that look like a tablecloth. Or like a denim tablecloth. And every time I folded or unfolded them, I was like, who the fuck do these fit? Oh, yes, me. Because it is a funny, I think all fat women go through that where they're like, these are too big. These would never fit. And then they're like too small or fit like a glove. And you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
So like, but I think all people go through that. Not just fat totally. People.
Me for sure.
Yeah. And there was like,
because we all think we're little babies.
Yes. Some people do have body dysmorphia and think they're way bigger than they are, but like, well, I think I'm way smaller than I am.
Yeah, there's something about it that is like, just and we've talked about it on the podcast before with like light skin, dark skin. I think it was the podcast with Naomi Paragon, but we were talking about just like the idea that like everyone is pining after the opposite thing or worried about things that like, no matter, for me, when I moved to LA, I gained a lot of weight, partially to just be like, fuck you, LA.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, it wasn't hard. I was sitting in writer's rooms and, you know, not moving as much. And, but, and then losing weight to shoot this show, it's like been motivated by me seeing myself and then it not lining up with what I thought. But basically, I will always read as the chubby girl, no matter how thin I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I never want to be like, there's been a time where I think when I was like shooting this kid's show, I like look at pictures of myself and I'm like, I was thin in a way that's like not fitting to me. Because you get this momentum of like weight loss or weight gain where you just, I guess what I'm trying to explain is like, there's this insatiability with looks, no matter where you're at in the spectrum of weight. And that's what I want to rebel against is like, I do not want to be, I want to acknowledge that like everybody, including my wife, who's like so little, is like, I could lose weight.
Which is so insane because Shauna is tiny.
She's tiny. But relative to what her fit is, you know, like she's trying to get into those jeans. It's just, I think that we
put too much value on the way people look. Although I did see a gorgeous woman on a plane once. And I couldn't stop staring at her.
No, she and was also so you're like pretty. Lucas. I couldn't believe Lucas, it. Lucas, yummy. Oh, he's, you know, pretty. It's like he's a pretty.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, we're all guilty of it, but although,
you know how people take pictures from above? I do not like that. Like when I do meet and greets, I'll take pictures of the people, and they'll always put the camera above, and I hate it.
Why?
Because it's not what I look like. It's not what you look like.
Yeah.
Why are you posting pictures that are a fucking lie? I mean, like a selfie, sure. Sometimes I'll do that angle or whatever, but like my full on body, it makes my head look enormous and my body look like a weird pyramid, like an upside down pyramid. That's not. Like, you just look better face on without the angle.
Yeah, you don't have to give the angle of what I would look like if you were 8 feet tall.
Yes. I don't. It's so weird.
Can I just tell you the story that I thought of just because we were talking about weight and we were talking about Lucas and you like Lucas?
I do. He's okay, so pretty.
So when we were on this Mexican talk show, he told the story of when he was growing up in Chicago, he was bigger dude. And he fell through the ice into a lake and then climbed out of it and was like freezing. Like his clothes were like frozen and he ran back to this farmhouse that he was living in and he then fell through the porch. to fall through the floors in one day.
That's very funny. Tell him he'll never fall through my floors.
Ooh.
I love him.
Hey, this is Lucas Neff. I just want to give a shout out to all the girls pining and dreaming out there. Hey, you can catch me on Carol's Second Act, Thursdays, 9:30. All right, tune in. Oh, and Nicole, you cute. You real cute.
We're winding down.
We are.
But before we do,
what's going to happen?
I want to
know. Lessons!
You have some lessons?
Lessons? Let's see. My lesson is love your body, the one you have right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't love it, you can change it.
Yeah.
You know how to do it.
And then?
And
what about lessons for creative fulfillment?
Lessons for creative fulfillment.
Like, create, say,
do yeah. shit.
Yeah, there's like a little Nicole that's like, hi.
Hi, Nicole. Like, it's me.
First of all, shut up. Just a couple days a week, just don't talk. You talk so much. Let's see. People ask me all the time.
Like, is there something that, like, when you look back, you're like, you would have done something differently, or things that you're like, that's yeah. what really worked for me?
I would have been kinder to people.
Hmm.
I wish I was kinder when I was younger.
That's honest.
Because not that anything like karma wise has gotten me. I just now see the way people treat each other in a way where I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, why? Why do you need to say that to somebody like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to treat somebody like that? And in my younger days, I wasn't always the kindest. I was kind of shady.
Why do you think you were that way? Why were you shady?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought maybe being, I don't know, you see a lot of successful women on television and whatnot, like being like, it's either my family or I'm a cutthroat cunt and I'm going to step on everybody. I choose cutthroat. And you're like, oh, okay.
It's either my family. So,
but I guess, I don't know. I guess I wanted to be like a ruthless, cunning person. And I think I didn't realize that another path to success is being really kind and nice.
Yeah, that's so much
and
the
helpful
better one.
And I've been trying to put people, let's see, how do I phrase this without like giving away what I've done, but like black women, like, you know, making sure that some of the girls I know have a seat at the table.
Yeah,
like recommending them for things. If I can't do this, giving another name
yeah,
to
like
another
using
girl
your keys to
yeah,
open doors
as opposed to
people.
Being like, oh, I can't do that job, sorry, and then that's it. It's like, yeah. I can't do this, but
yeah,
these three black women can.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to do things like that. Trying to be conscious of like amplifying, you know, queer voices, people of color voices, because it is very easy to get like to just be, even though I'm black, just to like yeah. have that blind spot happen sometimes. So I'm just, you know, trying to be a better person.
You're doing a good job.
I'm just so hard.
You're doing a good job because you invited me to your estate.
People on your podcast are going to think that I live in an actual estate.
It's got a name when you walk up to it.
It does.
It's got a fucking name.
I know. Because I need to find someone to paint over that.
But then you should rename
it. Actually, no, it's tiles.
You should rename it.
Oh, God.
The pole swirler.
I do have a pole here.
You do?
Yeah, it's in my backyard.
Oh my God, take me to your pole.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
30 minutes of pole dancing later.
A horse. A cow. A beep. A siren. A dead person. A doorbell. A car alarm. An elephant.
You got one dream.
Did I pass?
Yeah. Before we finish this podcast,
yeah,
let's put a witch's spell on society
mm-hmm.
to be more kind.
Yeah.
Especially to the diamond medallions. Especially to the diverse diamond medallions.
Diverse diamond medallion divas.
Be more kind to those sitting in the reclined chairs in the front.
A girl, a black girl, fat with acne scars and a leopard print hat. It's me.
It's Nicole.
Please be nice to me.
Be nice to this kind young man. You know, I used to have a joke in my stand-up about being at an airport, and this kid actually was like really rude and was like, "Mom, why is there a boy in the girls' bathroom?" And the punchline of the joke was like, I wanted to take out my tampon and throw it at the kid's head. It was much better than that because it really hit every time. You know, if I told you the real way that it went down, everyone would be fucking on their knees laughing, begging to stop laughing.
I mean, that's how I laugh, right on my knees.
Right on your knees. You drop to your knees. You say, "Please, God, let this laugh stop.
Please,
it's too much.
Too much of a laugh."
But my friend Michelle Mama was like, "I mean, why are you so mad that they confused your gender?" And it made me, it was like, I was defensive at first, but then I was like, oh yeah, I guess that's kind of true.
That
like I do seem like a dude. And when we were in Thailand, everyone mistook me for a boy, but they would say, "Sir," they'd call Shauna ma'am and they'd call me sir. And I was like, fuck yeah, sir. I'd much rather be
sir
than ma'am. I'm daddy.
Daddy gets treated better.
Daddy gets sir.
Daddy gets
sir. Me up, baby.
Again, I don't have that issue. So when I am misgendered, I'm
You're
truly
like, this
fine
is
with
hilarious
it.
And
I'm like, that's fine. Yeah. I went on a date with a trans woman and I didn't realize she was trans. And she was talking about how she was misgendered at the gym. And I was like, oh man, that sucks. That never happens to me. And then I was like, la, 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 la. And then I got home and I was like, Nicole. I felt so dumb.
Yeah, Patty Harrison was on the podcast talking about passing and the complexities of it and how it's actually like a very layered thing where it's like, well, passing, which is when trans people seem like they're not or that you can't detect that they're trans, is like can be positive if you're in a dangerous situation. But then in actuality, if you're not if you're trans and you're embarrassed about representing being trans.
Yes.
It's almost like, especially if you're the passing kind, then you are the kind that is like a bridge for society to like.
It sucks that passing is a thing, but it's also a thing for non-trans people, for like queer people.
Yeah.
So very effeminate gay men will try to pass
Butch
by like toning it down, but sometimes they just like can't.
Yeah.
But it just sucks that we are raised in a way where gender is defined and that you get to wonder someone's gender. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you get to like, someone walks by you and you go, they boy or girl. Why?
Yeah. And like gender reveals and like, what did it like?
Yes.
I was at the park and a dad was like, is that your son? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's so good to have a son. You do not want a daughter. And I'm writing a joke about it now because it's like, motherfucker, what do you think? I am a daughter.
Yes.
What do you think? How do you think this conversation was going to go? I'd
but
be
also,
like, yeah, daughters are worthless. You know, you got to get rid of all your cows just to trade them.
Sucks.
Yeah.
I wish people would leave trans people alone.
Or just like, I wish people would notice that we're all so different. And there's like, you can always make guesses about what someone's. I think that's the thing is like, we're so impatient and we want to know information without.
Yes.
Doing any of the work. So it's like, okay, I see Nicole in first class and I am a white, old, white, miserable man. So I'm going to make a remark because I know exactly what that lady is all about. And you know, here comes this dyke. What are you going to put your fingers in my wife's pussy? That's what that man said to me when I was boarding the plane. He said, get your fingers out of my wife's
get
dusty
your
pussy.
Fingers out of my cobweb.
It's where I keep all my coins.
Pussy. Shakes her.
Shakes her.
All
three pennies fall out.
Fall out of her.
Oh my god.
Isn't that a disgusting
that
word?
That is a bad word. Yes, if every word that's been spoken on this podcast is one that I might bleep.
Please do. I don't want people to hear me say
I'll just take a picture of the time code.
Aw, man. Got a lot of editing to do.
Not me. That's for Alec.
Who's Alec?
He's the king of the pod. He does the behind the scenes. He made all of the sound effects. Alec, I love you. Okay, let's do this spell and then go slide down the pole.
What's the spell?
The spell is one word at a time.
Okay.
UCB 401.
Yeah.
One word at a time, and it's the spell we're putting on society.
Okay.
And after we do the spell, society is going to be following the spell.
Okay.
Okay. Society.
I
am
here
to
tell
you
that
you
should
lean
in
to
your
kindness
and
recognize
that
we
are
all.
We all are.
We all are. This is our one shot to change the world. Okay. We all are.
Our
planet.
Yeah.
So
be
kind
to
the
planet.
That's
our
selves.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm bad at this.
Oh my god,
I fucked this up.
We're gonna start a war.
Okay, let's do it again.
Okay.
Hey
girl,
you need to
be better,
take a nap,
and remember
to be better.
For instance, if you nap
and you wake up
and you missed the goody goody pod,
you better fucking listen.
And invite Sabrina.
Invite Sabrina over.
For a fun time.
And then she'll stick her fingers in your puss.
Because that's...
consensually.
And Nicole will rob me.
I love robbing. I'm black.
I like fingering. I'm lesbian. Bye, bitch.
Bye-bye.
I love you.
Hi, Bina. I wanted to touch base with you and chat a little bit, but since you're not picking up the phone, I'll leave you a message because I'm going to go out for a walk with Dad now, our nightly walk. I was really sad to hear about Nicole Byer's experiences with racism. I think ever since Trump is the president of the USA, racism-related incidences have increased even here in Canada. My brother-in-law, who is from Pakistan but could pass as Mexican, Spanish, or Italian, had a bad experience recently. He was having supper with his family, his kids, his white Canadian wife, his white mother-in-law, at a family restaurant. And when his little boy got a bit cranky, an older white couple told him that Chuck E. Cheese is just around the corner and take the kids there. And when he approached them, they told him to go back to his country, whatever they thought his country was, and some other things. They got quite nasty, actually. You know, I don't think we experienced these things before, at least not personally or in our family. And hopefully there'll be some drastic change down in your country soon, and things will get better. Love you, Bina. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.